And welcome back to Speak Up Las Cruces. That kind of spooky. That sounds like a lot of fun. Next half hour, we're going to be talking with Elva Ostrich and Tina Cordova. Elva is a reporter, and Tina was the leader of the Tularosa Besa Downwinders Association, who worked for years to gain compensation under the RECA Act. And before we get into Elva's story, Tina, for those who may be joining us on this issue for the first time, can you give us just a couple of minutes about that, everything that led up to how we got to here today with Congress finally approving that?
Well, good morning, Walt, and thank you for having me on. Good morning, Elva.
Good morning.
let's go back. We waited 15 years. We had Congress introduce bills for 15 years. And we never had any success, never even a vote on the House or Senate floor until 2024. And in 2024, we overwhelmingly passed an amendment to the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act that would add New Mexico, the people of New Mexico. And when I say the people of New Mexico, I mean the entire state of New Mexico, and I'll explain why in a minute. But we overwhelmingly passed amendments that would have added the people of New Mexico, supplied them with compensation and health care coverage, and it also added a number of other states. But we never could get a vote on the House floor. Speaker Johnson blocked the vote over and over, and the bill expired. Then in 2025, because of the really, I will call it, difficult and hard work of negotiating things, Senator Hawley was able to encourage his colleagues in the House and Senate to allow him to attach an amendment to what is now called the Big Beautiful Bill, the reconciliation bill, that would add just a certain number of states, New Mexico being one, and only the compensation, no health care coverage. And it passed. It was added at the very last minute. There was no time for any more political wrangling, and the bill passed. And so since July, we have now been added to what's called the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act, and people from all parts of New Mexico who meet the qualifications will be able to apply for a one-time payment of $100,000 on behalf of themselves and also on behalf of deceased loved ones that were either spouses, parents, grandparents, or children. And hundreds of people are applying, and we're very grateful that this has happened. Our fight is not over. We want to see the health care coverage added back in. We want to see more cancers added to the list of cancers. Mm-hmm. And we also want to see the qualifying period extended past 1962. The reason all of New Mexico is covered, because some people say, well, I didn't live near Trinity. But the fact is that when Trinity was detonated, there was deposition of radiation over our entire state. Mm-hmm. And we also had the deposition of radiation in our state continuously through 1962 when they did the above ground testing at Nevada. And all of these are proven facts today. And so exposure to radiation is cumulative. And we started receiving radiation exposure in 1944. When the government first started doing radioactive tests at Los Alamos through 1962, when they stopped doing above ground testing at Nevada.
We talked with Mary Martinez White about this a few months ago, and she just talked about all of the cancers in her family that continue to this day, and including her teenage nephew. Can you just talk a little bit about the experiences of all of the people who were there at that time and their families, and how that has gone on from generation to generation?
Well, the unfortunate thing is the TBDC, our organization, has documented thousands of families that are displaying four and five generations of cancer. Just like Mary's family, my family has that sort of a history. I have three siblings and, my parents. And in my own immediate family, my dad died after having three different cancers. My mom's being followed for a parotid tumor. I was the oldest child. I've had thyroid cancer. My brother closest in age to me has never had anything. My sister has had cancer. My youngest brother was just this year diagnosed with kidney cancer. Mm. His daughter, who's 24, has thyroid cancer. And I've lost count of, you know, all the aunts and uncles. Both my grandmothers had cancer. My great-grandfathers, who were alive at the time of Trinity, had cancer. And honestly, those people who were children at the time, my parents' generation has been wiped out. We don't have elders any longer. My generation is now who are considered elders. And the other thing that's happened, which is very, very unfortunate, is that if you're exposed to radiation, there's normally a latency period in between the time you're exposed and you manifest disease. But if you have the genetics for this, it can manifest at any time. And the really sad, very, very sad thing is that we're seeing a lot more children now with cancers being diagnosed at earlier and earlier ages. In Tularosa, I know of two families right now that have very young children, a young little baby who was diagnosed at the age of 3 months, who goes to MD Anderson for treatment, a little girl who lost one of her eyes at the age of 2 to eye cancer, and now at the age of 4, her other eye is at risk. It's just an ongoing problem that's not going to go away, and if that were bad enough, Walt, you probably heard, but we also had a spike in infant mortality after Trinity, and thousands of babies died that summer, and we've documented that, and the government's never atoned for any part of it. Mm-hmm. And so this is a horrific legacy that we've been left to deal with.
Elva, I know you were once a reporter in Alamogordo, so all of this, I'm sure, was very familiar to you.
That's true. I've been covering southern New Mexico since 1998, either in Alamogordo or Las Cruces, all around. And I have attended many events that the Tularosa Basin Downwinders Consortium has put on. And I know how very exciting it was when they finally passed the compensation.
Yeah, as Mary told us, it wasn't really the money. It was the acknowledgement.
Yes,
finally,
yeah.
After all of these years.
Tina, this is Nancy Baker, and I'm jumping in as well on this conversation. But it just seems that as you said, it's just a legacy that continues, and $100,000 wouldn't even go very far. So the whole point is to bring some sense of justice, some sense of resolution, and admit for the government admitting that what it did with these populations, knowing that radiation in 1944 was terrible and toxic, and yet being very blasé about it.
Absolutely. And, you know, through the years, I've been doing this work for 20 years. Through the years, so many people told me if they would just acknowledge, if they would just come back and say, yes, we harmed you, that would be good enough. And I would tell people all the time, no, it's not good enough. We're not going to be martyrs. You know, people know the physiological consequences. They're very obvious.
It's yeah.
The development of disease. But what we never talk about are the other consequences, which are the you know, the mental health, the psychological, the social issues, the financial
yeah.
issues that come along with having a multi-generational legacy of cancer.
Yes.
Because in our country, normally people are able to develop generational wealth. That is how people get ahead. But in New Mexico, that has not been our history
yeah.
because people spend everything they have to take care of themselves and each other, and it leaves people destitute. And by the way, just released statistic in 2024, we have a little over 2 million people living in New Mexico, and we're carrying $881 million in medical debt.
Oh, my gosh.
That is not sustainable.
No, it's not.
And I tell people all the time, it's the leading cause for the filing of bankruptcy, and $100,000 is not enough.
Yep.
And if we could sue the federal government in a civil court, we wouldn't be begging for $100,000. We would be receiving millions of dollars.
Yes.
In settlements, but
yeah, if a private company had done that to you, you would be you'd all be rich. Well, I don't know if that's true, but you would have an opportunity to all be rich.
Absolutely, Walt.
Elva, when did you first hear about the problem, and when did you start looking into this issue with scams, and what did you find?
So I wrote a book about the Trinity test, and it's about the witnessing the bomb, and it's from the point of view of survivors and their children. And so people know that I have an interest in the subject, so people started coming to me with the concerns about when the bill passed and the application process was open, there was a space of time where the application process wasn't yet available. And yet various entities, attorneys from out of state, just other organizations had started approaching potential downwinder people who would be compensated, offering them help to apply for a compensation.
For a percentage.
For a percentage, exactly.
Yeah.
And, the attorneys are only allowed to take 2% of the compensation if they are the helper in that case. The problem at the time was, and perhaps still is that if that application fails the first time, the second time they can take a much higher percent.
Mm.
So maybe their goal early on was to file and then fail and then be able
effective representation first time around.
Exactly.
Yeah, set it up to fail. I see what you mean.
But also the reason that the downwinders were contacting me was because they were being harassed. They were getting phone calls
a lot of pressure. Then
a lot of pressure for them to sign up with somebody that didn't have any right to even be asking at that point.
And when the federal government set something up that they know is going to be complicated, and for a lot of the people who are going to qualify for this, it will be difficult for them to make their way through the legalese and all of that. Do they also provide assistance? Do they have people there in the area to help walk folks through the process so that they don't become victims?
So currently, between some of our representatives and Tina's organization, there are groups that are setting up ways to get help and mm-hmm. get advice. But the reality is you can go to the website and fill out a form. And it's that simple. There's not a lot of legalese involved.
Okay.
They need some information. You put in your name and stuff and they can process it. And the other thing to be wary of is if you look on the computer and you search on your search engine if you put in words like downwinders and compensation and RICA and stuff, the top things that come up are going to be people who want your money.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
The sites are very duplicitous.
Internet algorithms are...
And very... Yeah. They look great.
Yes.
But many of them are just... They just want your money.
Yes. So and or just, your personal information.
Exactly. Don't put your information into those sites. Don't do it. But if they don't have a phone number or a way you can actually talk to a person before you start giving them personal information, be especially wary.
Yeah. Yep.
And, you know, Walt... the TBDC, you know, we have funds. We've been given grant money, and we've trained a whole group of people. We had, I don't even remember, but over 200 people attend either in person or via Zoom a training that we held so that we can get volunteers out in communities all across the state. People can go to our website, which is trinitydownwinders.com, find us, and we will find a volunteer to help you. What's the worst part about this is there's one organization in particular called downwinders.com, and they have presented themselves as though they are us.
Ah.
And they tell people that if you just give us our organization a donation of 6%, will help you. And they make people think that they're giving money to the TBDC.
Yes.
And number one, it's fraudulent because they're not supposed to be able to charge 6%. But number two, they're not associated with us at all.
Right.
And Elva's exactly right. You don't have to be an attorney. There will be difficult claims, and there will be claims where we will have to engage an attorney. But we will, we have already located people that we feel comfortable with, that are local attorneys,
mm-hmm.
that understand the process. And, you know, so there's a mechanism in place where we're not just saying, you're on your own.
Yeah.
You know, figure it out. There are lots of documents people are going to have to gather, but this is not a difficult process, and you don't need somebody to take over for you for 6% or 10% or 2%.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to contact us. There's volunteers in communities all across New Mexico, and many of our volunteers out of Albuquerque can do this with you either via Zoom, FaceTime, you know, or over the phone, and we're here to help, and we don't want a dime of the compensation to go out of New Mexico. Imagine if we just get 1,000 people qualified, and there's going to be tens of thousands of people. The government's anticipating that. They know that. There are potentially tens of thousands of people in New Mexico who will qualify. Imagine just 1,000 people, and that's $100 million.
Yep.
This program has the potential to bring not millions, but billions of dollars back to the people of New Mexico. The other thing is, we only have 2 years right now. We're going to be fighting for a further extension of time, but we have 2 years right now. They are processing claims today. I think something like 700 claims have been filed. They haven't turned down a single claim yet. And so they're working. I don't think they're working right now during the shutdown, but they were working as of a few weeks ago, and they are processing claims, and they're actually approving claims, and very soon people are going to have money coming back to them.
Oh, good. And the deadline now is just December 31st, 2027, right? So you're right. It's
That's
just
good.
Like a little over 2 years.
Yeah, it's just a little over 2 years, and we don't want to give up time. I'm also going to appeal to people who are out there who work in every agency that might have a document that people are looking for. So far, we've seen a lot of cooperation, but I get calls from people every day that say, I can't get my school records. My mom and dad, we can't get their school records. Mm. You know, my husband, I haven't been able to get the hospital to respond. We have not just volunteers, but all five members of Congress have constituent service people
mm-hmm.
who will make themselves available when we have this kind of a difficulty. If you're having problems, call us. We'll link you up with a constituent service person who will be glad to make a call on your behalf and help you, you know, get the documents you need. And so we're here to help, and there's help out there.
We are talking with Elva Oestreich and Tina Cordova about scammers who are trying to take advantage of people who signed up or not signed up, who qualify for compensation through the recently passed bill in Congress to compensate victims following the Trinity blast and their descendants. And I wanted to mention at the beginning that Elva's reporting was through the local news fund, which is helping to supplement reporting that has been lost as we see our newspapers dwindle and our TV. And so I did want to give them credit for that. And I guess as we close up, you've kind of touched on this already, both of you, but main pieces of advice for, I guess, anybody who's asking you for more than 2%, that should immediately be a red flag. Anything else that, your final takeaways or that we want to make sure that people are aware of? Tina, go ahead.
Yeah, I do want to say, Walt, that a couple of things. Our attorney general also wants to know about this. They've already issued a public service announcement. They've already said, you know, scammers are not welcome in New Mexico. So if you are one of those people that's being solicited by an organization wanting you to sign up with them, pressuring you to sign up with them, because Elva is absolutely right, people are being harassed, and they didn't call first. These organizations called them.
Yeah.
And how they're getting our information, we don't know. But call the Attorney General's office and report them, please, because our Attorney General has already come out and said, we don't want you here and we will come after you.
Good.
The other thing I wanted to say that's important to the Las Cruces community is that you all probably know there's this amazing documentary about our work called First We Bombed New Mexico.
Yes.
Well, now the it has been seen in your community at the film festival, the Las Cruces Film Festival, but now the film has an all-new ending that, number one, incorporates our success with RECA, but number two, incorporates our success through the efforts of Representative Joanne Ferrari from your community. We have this new beautiful permanent sign placed at the Stallion Gate entrance to Trinity that recognizes the downwinders, their sacrifice, and their suffering. For the first time on the 80th anniversary of Trinity, the Department of Transportation unveiled this beautiful sign. If you're traveling across 380, please stop and see it. But the film has an all-new ending that incorporates all that. And on November 22nd, at 7 p.m. at Rio Grande Theater in Las Cruces, they're going to premiere the film with the new ending. And I just want to invite everybody in the community, if you're interested, you can go to that website, which is firstwebombnewmexico.com, and there'll be more information there about how to, you know, get tickets or attend or whatever.
Okay. Alva, you mentioned your book. Tell us a little bit more about your book.
It's called The Manhattan Project Trinity Test, Witnessing the Bomb in New Mexico. And I did a program or a project with the Alamogordo Daily News on the 60th anniversary of the bomb. And it was, I kind of recreated the old paper from the time. And we used stories from survivors. We used stories from the past, the old newspapers, and that whole project just really was inspiring, and people were moving on. So I just
and that was 20 years ago.
Right, that was 20 years ago. The book came out in 2021, I believe, 2021. Because I went back and I talked to some of those same people.
I think stories are very powerful.
Absolutely. It's very important to remember.
That's right. These aren't just numbers, not just statistics. These are human lives.
Yeah, exactly.
Multi-generational, as Tina says. Tina, one of the other things that struck me that people can do if to avoid a scam is, and you mentioned it, as someone contacts you, be very suspicious. Do not say yes to anyone who reaches out to you that you have not contacted. I think that's an easy-peasy way for people to think, I'm getting a phone call from someone I've never heard of before. Okay, bye.
And be very wary of, the pretty websites. Are just,
oh, yes.
And it's so easy just to see, this looks really good. It looks legitimate.
Yeah.
It has this video about so-and-so. And
that seems like that should be illegal. I mean, that seems intentionally deceptive. Like
absolutely.
You know,
yeah, like false advertising,
yeah,
right? But they're very smart and they're very careful about
crossing that line.
They won't come right out and lie to you, but they'll do everything they can to get your personal information.
Right, right.
Well, and you know, that's some people. I have one woman that I've been in conversation with for at least a month and a half now, who said, I turned everything over to them, and now they don't want to give it back to me. Mm. And I said, that's just ridiculous. You've got to contact the Attorney General's office. The information that you provided, birth certificates, death certificates,
yes,
you know, all this information that's very personal and that can be used to steal your identity, how do they protect your information once they have it? There's so many,
and it's not their information. They should immediately hand it back.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, again, please go to our website, which is trinitydownwinders.com, and you'll be able to find everything you need there. We will mail out applications to people that need them. We have applications available at the City Hall in Socorro, Carrizozo, Tularosa. You know, we're working in communities already. We're very deeply embedded in a lot of these communities that are closest to Trinity, but we are willing to help people anywhere in New Mexico, and we will, like I said, facilitate the process. We're planning another training. It will likely take, well, we're actually planning two more trainings, one in Socorro mm-hmm. area, one in Tularosa area, because there are so many people that want to learn how to do it so they can do it themselves for themselves, but they also want to help their community. And I have been very impressed with how many people have come forward. Even law students from UNM mm-hmm. came to our training because they want to make sure that they maximize the opportunity for the people of New Mexico. And so we have what we need. We don't need these out-of-state companies, predators coming here and taking money out of New Mexico. Every dime that's available to people should be, you know, made available and should be kept by them.
Yes.
Well, and it's encouraging to hear that the Attorney General is apparently on the case and is looking into it. And
A number of legislators with their constituent services. I was glad to read about that. You've got some possibilities there of helping people in the community, people in New Mexico.
Yeah.
And I'm glad.
Go ahead.
I'm so glad you mentioned that because, you know, the five members of Congress representing New Mexico, Senator Lujan, Senator Heinrich, Representative Vasquez, Representative Ledger Fernandez, and Stansbury, these people have made themselves so available to us from the get-go.
Good.
I mean, I have said over and over, if not for them, we could not have kept this alive in Congress for 15 years. They've been there to represent us and to make sure this was in the forefront. But they are now doing everything they can to assist. They wrote this amazing letter that went out to school systems, hospitals, libraries. We sent it out to everybody we could think of saying, please help people if they contact you and need records.
Because
some agencies are being overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I'm sure New Mexico Vital Statistics is being overwhelmed with requests because all of a sudden thousands of people are asking for birth certificates and death certificates. And so, you know, we need cooperation. We need people to understand that this is going to bring back a lot of money to New Mexico. It's good for the people here. The people deserve it. And we all need to continue to work together to maximize this opportunity.
Yes.
Before we wrap up, Tina, let me give you one more chance to mention again the event that you've got coming up.
So we have a screening of the documentary First We Bombed New Mexico with a New Ending. That's going to take place on November 22nd at 7 p.m. at Rio Grande Theater in Las Cruces. I'll be there. A number of us will be there. The producer of the film, Lois Lipman, she'll be there. We'll have a Q&A afterwards. It'll be a wonderful event, and it'll be an opportunity for people to see the film with an all-new, very positive ending.
Mm-hmm. And Elva, where can people go to read your reporting on this?
You can visit we're the Southern New Mexico Journalism Collaborative, and you can just look that up. It'll pull up that website, and then you click on the news, on the news tab, and you'll go through the stories, all of which are very relevant to the area and very important. So we do good work, and we do work that is in depth.
And it's very needed.
Very needed. I was just going to say all too often ignored by.
So please take a look at that website and the stories in there as well, and also several others that I think everybody will find fascinating.
Well, thank you both so much for coming on today and for letting our listeners know about this important thing, because like I said, it's not surprising. It is disappointing, and it is also encouraging that you guys have your guard up, you're alert to it, and you're not just sitting down and taking it. You're fighting back. And so that is very good.